Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. In this gospel today, it is the Monday of what we know as Holy Week, the day after Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem with the cheering crowds. And this is the third of three attempts to trap Jesus by the Jewish Pharisees, particularly this one, who was a lawyer. And the lawyer asked Jesus, "Which commandment in the law is the greatest?" A little background on this. The Hebrew word Shema here is the word that begins the most important prayer in Jerusalem. The whole Shema prayer is spoken morning and evening in the Jewish tradition, and it is taught to their children as a bedtime prayer. And it goes like this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In Matthew's version of this encounter, Jesus subtly changes the original version of the Shema. The Shema asks us to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. But Jesus alters it to heart, soul, and mind. And everyone in that crowd would have known that he had changed it. As someone once observed, if some night at bedtime your child prayed, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my brain to keep," you'd notice. It's difficult to say why Jesus made this substitution. It may well tie with the key theme of Matthew's gospel, namely that knowledge is the most important thing of all. Matthew wants them, and he wants us, to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, even if he ends up looking different than what we had expected him to look like. He is the one. So Jesus' mention of mind was also somewhat of a subtle rebuke of that pharisaical lawyer and the Pharisees in general, because they were very good at using their minds to do legalistic hair splitting of all kinds. We are supposed to honor God in how we think and how we reason as well. Use your mind. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Love is the very nature and life of God. Love is who God is. God's love is not dependent upon whether or not you are lovable. Isn't that a relief? Likewise, he said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Because love requires us to be in relationship with others. Love is not about codependency. It's not about enabling others. It's also not about self-abasement or self-loathing. But love is about caring. But it is also clear about boundaries. Love is about standing against abuse, not turning our backs or averting our eyes. It's about working to expose and address injustice and healing the victims. We honor that when we gave to the Mission Possible Thistle Farms, who helps women who have been trafficked throughout the United States and now throughout the world. We stand against evil. We stand against anything that hurts our fellow human beings. Love is an act of the will. It is a decision that we make. First of all, it helps to see God as other people see them. It helps us if we see how God sees other people, and that's how we are to see them. We are to respond to others as to how God loves them, how God sees them, not by your own prejudices or understandings. Jesus teaches us about agape love, love that is not an emotion or a feeling, but a love that is not sentimental but is rather self-giving. Jesus gave his life for us. This kind of love is agape love, costly love. How else could Jesus say, hanging from the cross, "Father, forgive them," unless he looked beyond their deeds to how it is that God feels about each and every one of us? God is at work in all of our hearts, turning them from stone and reluctance ever so slowly to love our neighbors, our enemies, and those who are different from ourselves. I recall this morning when I was driving here a story about a woman that I knew in Long Branch. We were members of the ministerium there, which is all the congregations in the whole area, including those of different denominations and our Jewish brothers and sisters. And she said to me, she had become very ill and she was hospitalized. In fact, she was in ICU and I had gone to see her. And when she recovered and she came to see me, she thanked me for my visit, but she also told me about something that touched her incredibly deeply. It was that the rabbi, who was a member of our group, the ministerium, had come to see her as well in the ICU. And she said his visit was the most healing that she had had that entire time. She was in there for quite a while. And he sat at her bedside and he chanted for her the Psalms. If you've ever had a rabbi chant for you, it is the most beautiful thing. And she said it was so soulful that he was there to be able to minister to her, a Christian, with his tradition, which is also part of ours in the Old Testament, the Psalter. So we are to look beyond our denominational divides and our religious divides and whatever, and to see each other as human beings in need of God's love, and that we are the instruments of that love. Earlier this week, on Tuesday evening at our gathering at the rectory, we watched a video talk by Father Richard Rohr, Franciscan priest. And there were many different and varied images that were used in the video that we had watched. All of it was to enliven our hearts and our minds and our understanding and expand our understanding about who God is. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? This created being that came here at Earth so we would better understand with our minds, because we can't relate very well to concepts, but we can relate to someone who walked with us. And who was this Jesus? And so the images that were put in this video were incredible. Some of them were so expansive, like you would see through the Hubble telescope, you know, other galaxies and just absolute wonders that this is the God who created it all. And then from that expansion of the universe, there were videos of a fetus in utero. So intimate, in detail, little fingers and toes and nails and whatever. And that God who created that whole universe of all of those stars and everything created each and every one of us and knew us in our mother's womb, and loves all of his creation, absolutely all of it, because that's who he is. He is love. God is always creating. God is always in relationship. We see it in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all working together throughout eternity, creating and making and loving and being in relationship. God is love. God is love. And in fact, we say that God is not a noun, but God is a verb, because there is this continual interaction with his creation, moving it forward, progressing, and bringing us to new understandings. So, what is the implication of this for all of us? Well, Martin Luther said, "While our neighbor is needy, God needs nothing. He's the creator of all things. So true service to God must always be for the sake of our neighbor. In some sense, God is in others as a functional presence, because he's working in each and every one of us, bringing us and transforming us into new beings, into the likeness of Christ. God is all around us, whether we see him or not. And let us remember that Jesus said, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Wrap your head around that, and maybe you get a deeper understanding that God is with us, God is in us, God is working through us. If we can see that those who are needy, Jesus is in them. If you do to them and you are kind to them and you bless them in any way, you are blessing Christ. Clement of Alexandria, one of the ancients of the church, said, "You have seen your brother. You have seen God." I said to Eve yesterday, perhaps we ought to change the dismissal from "go in peace" to "love and serve the Lord" to "go in peace" to "love and serve the Lord and your neighbor," so that we all remember that we were all created to be in relationship and to bless one another.